But I again want to begin by reminding us about all about of where we are, but more importantly, Lord willing, where we're headed. That it's this time we're in a season of change. And while that word comes with its own titles and emotions, we believe as Grace Brethren Church that God can use this time of change and transitions to help us better align with his plan. Not only for us, but for his kingdom work. And so we pray that God would open our eyes and our hearts to the areas we need to evaluate, the areas we need to implement, and the areas we need to improve in order that we might partner with him in bringing the people of Uniontown and the surrounding area into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that series here that we've been working through is helping us to lay us the groundwork of where we are and where we're headed as we seek God's plan through that. And that begins with us reestablishing of what is important to us and what that in turn compels us then to do. So we've held to the truth that the gospel message of Jesus Christ has to be at the core of who we are, if we are to be Christ's body. And we discovered last week that this message isn't just vital to those of us inside of this place, but it's vital to every single person on this planet. But in our own sin, we as people reject God's wisdom and his plan of redemption and in turn call it foolishness. And it's a sad reality that we call it so, and that's why our call is yet so difficult, but also at the same time so necessary. And for we as Grace Brethren Church to be as effective in creating a culture, we need to be able to do so where every individual in the surrounding area has the opportunity and the opportunity to experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And for that to happen, for that goal to be a reality, we have to first believe that wisdom ourselves and then be able to share it with faith and do it so with courage. And I pray that you take on that challenge, that God would begin to open doors for you to be able to share his wisdom with those in your own backyard. You'll be able to understand it and believe it for yourself, and then in turn, share that with those you're around. And so that concept of God's wisdom is what's going to carry us into this morning's message. Last week, we talked about the importance of obtaining wisdom, but this week, we'll focus on how that actually happens. But before we jump in, continuing this pattern, I'm going to throw out another question for you, for us to sit on and simmer on together. Is that have you ever stopped to think about this book? Have you ever stopped to think about this book? If you don't know, this is my Bible. Have you ever stopped to think about the Bible? Have you asked questions? Like, where did all this come from? Why did only some select stories and books and letters make the cut to be considered God's word? What does that God's word even mean? Why do we stick to this ancient book written years and years and years ago? And why do we make this the thing that we gather around each and every week? Have you ever stopped to think about those things? We believe this book to be true, but have we ever stopped to think about it? For the context of us going through this series as well, kind of thinking of those questions, what part does this Bible play in the life of our church, both today and tomorrow? Together, my hope is that we will see this morning that the wisdom of God, the wisdom that the world sees as foolishness, is a secret and hidden wisdom that comes from God himself through the gift of his word and of the Holy Spirit. Before we get into that and read the passage to look at that truth, let's go to God in a word of prayer. So again, would you bow with me as I lead us in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we open your word, that we would be able to see the importance of that word. That it would be something that we would hold on to and cling to, that we would cherish. And Lord, as we look at this as a church perspective, Lord, that we would align ourselves what is told from us from you directly. And I pray that your truth, your word would come forth this morning and not my own, and that you would be glorified in everything that is said and done this morning. Be with us again, and may you be working in each one of us to hear exactly how you are working in our hearts. We pray all of these things. Amen. So this morning we're actually jumping. We're still going to be in 1 Corinthians, but we're jumping a bit over to chapter 2. Let me grab in your pew Bibles. We're around 17. Ooh, I even have this marked. Good for me. We are in 17. If you're using the pew Bibles here, we're 1771. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to be picking up in verses 6, and we'll be reading to 13 together. If you don't have a Bible with you, grab one of these pew ones, or it'll be on the screens behind me. But it says this: "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but the wisdom of this age, but not the wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What have we received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." So since we are jumping a bit ahead in the text, it's important to know that Paul is molding his previous points of keeping the gospel centered and then not relying on the wisdom of individuals or of this world. He begins to unpack this truth about God's wisdom, which we'll be explaining and walking through today. And so in verses 6 and 7, Paul begins to contrast the world's idea of wisdom and God's lasting wisdom. He argues that the wisdom of this world is coming to nothing, or in other translations, that the wisdom of this world is to pass away. He's saying that the wisdom that this world holds in such high regard is fleeting and isn't anything solid for much length of time. And we can see this on true display in our lives today. Because if you venture out to your local bookstore, or if you're like me and you love your Audible subscription, where you can read and listen to books, you can see the world's wisdom sprawled out in a bookstore's biggest section, the self-help section. You can spend time walking through, seeing all these different ways to fill yourself up with today's insight, to be able to how to make it. And if you went through and you played this scenario out, you went to the bookstore and you picked off two random books off the shelf, there's probably a good chance that the wisdom that is shared in one of those books will more than likely contradict the other. And better yet, if you take both of those books, you take them off the shelf, you buy them, you take them home and put them on your shelf, you wait about a year or maybe even less, and you go back and you visit that same bookstore, you'll more likely find books on that shelf that are new there that you could buy that contradict those two books that you have sitting on your shelf, or tell you to throw everything out that you heard before, because this is the brand new stuff. You got to learn, you got to listen, you got to follow now. Because in essence, earthly wisdom is always changing because it's limited to the human perspective on how the world is. And that's limited to the here and now. But rather, Paul says that's not the wisdom that we attach ourselves to. The wisdom that we live by, the wisdom that we hope in, and the one that we rely on has one true source. And that source is God and God alone. The one true and righteous God who knows all things, that is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. This God whose wisdom is the only reliable source to define who you are and what this life is all about, that gives us meaning and purpose. And so, our wisdom must be God's wisdom. That our wisdom must be God's wisdom, both individually and as a church. Paul goes on to share in verse 7 and 8 that, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. You see, God's wisdom flips the script on human wisdom. And that centers around the cross of Jesus Christ. Because what the world would see as a defeat, God sees as a victory. What the world sees as only death, God sees life. And what the world would see as foolishness and weak, God uses for power and wisdom. It's not this flashy, here today, gone tomorrow kind of truth. It's eternal and life-saving. And so I'll ask you as your pastor this morning, when the rubber meets the road, what wisdom do you rely on? Where do you go to help shape your thoughts and your decisions? What is your life and your thought process and your wisdom based upon? What guides your relationships and controls the way you act and react? Especially in those times of conflict when it's hard to get along. Where do you go to find your answers? Is it a friend, a spouse, a loved one? Have you thought about where that wisdom comes from? And that thought process that you have, and if it aligns with God's wisdom, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And as a church, I'll ask us as well, is God's wisdom our wisdom? Is God's wisdom our wisdom? And when we make decisions, do we base them out of the teachings that we find from our Redeemer? Or do we jump onto the latest fad in order that that might appeal to the largest crowd? Or when we have ideas for things that we can do, are they based on the wisdom that we find in this book? or they pulled from an individual or another church that seems to be doing the right things and going in the right way? Or do we just lean on what we've done in the past because it seemed to work then, we got to do it again? Just because it's done that way. I would challenge us as Grace Brethren Church to evaluate every line of ministry that we offer and ask ourselves honestly, does this promote, align with, and elevate Christ's gospel over everything else, the wisdom of God himself? Or have we leaned on our own understanding to keep this alive? If we answer with the latter of that, may we repent of our ways, seek after the wisdom of God alone, and restructure our ministries to align with the one who is wisdom. But for us to be able to see how God's way is wise, there's something else that needs to happen. And thankfully, we see that God gives us two gifts in order that we may be able to understand this hidden wisdom from his word. And that the first of that is his actual word. It's this book, the Bible. And he makes his point, and as Paul writes this, he makes his point stick about the greatness of the wisdom of God. He places, and by doing this, he places this quote in his letter to the Corinthian church in verse 9. He says, however, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And what Paul is essentially saying by sharing this is that not in your wildest dreams, not in your wildest thoughts would you ever come up with what is in this book. In your most brilliant moment, in your best research, and the best scholarly effort in the world, you could never come up with what is in this book. It only comes from revelation by God himself. I think too often as Christians, we forget the amazing gift that the Word of God actually is. That we have Bibles upon Bibles stacked up on our shelves at home and forget the power that they truly hold. And better yet, what exactly this is. That we hold in our hands the very words spoken to us by the Maker of the universe. Given to us by his chosen people to point us back to himself. He gives it to us not just as a list of instructions and how to measure up to his standards, but out of love, he walks us throughout history the ways he has continuously showed us his love and mercy. And that all centers around the message of the gospel. That God, out of his abundant love for us, came to this earth as a man and brought restoration through his death and his resurrection. So, church, let this holy book, the living word of God, be the thing that brings us together. Let this be the foundation of what we say and what we do. That as we move forward, that this be our guide. That we model ourselves after the author of this love story. And that we share its truths, not only when we gather inside of this building, but we live our lives as if this is truth. We have been given an amazing gift to treasure. It's an amazing gift to treasure. So let's start seeing it that way and holding it in that way. Because there is something stunning about the insight in this book. There is glorious hope in this book. There are practical principles for everyday living that you would never come up with on your own inside of this book. And ultimately, there is life in this book. There is wisdom that will turn the world upside down and will set you on a different course. It will transform all the aspects of who you are. Let us never grow cold for this amazing gift that we've been entrusted with, both personally and as a church. And so, I know that's a lot to take in, I think it's beneficial to take a minute and to address how we ourselves can be in this word. If we believe that this is wisdom and wisdom that we need to attach ourselves to as a life source, the question that has to be rattling around in your brain is, well, how do we do it? How does that start? Because I think one of the sad realities of the church is that we beat into people's heads that we need to be in God's word, that we need to study it, that we need to be a part of it. But we never give people the actual steps to do so. You know, it's been something that I have been passionate about, both in spending my time with teenagers who say, this book is confusing, I don't know how to get into it and get into a rhythm of being a part of it, all the way up to adults who have said, oh, I've been a part of a church, but I only read it when I'm here on Sunday. I just don't know how to get into it. Because it's really reading the Bible is different than reading any other book. So here's a simple way that can help you get into a habit, a healthy habit of spending time in God's word in a beneficial way. I'll put out the disclaimer before I share that this is not the only way to do this, but it's a way that I use to actively connect with God during my time in his word. I start my time out by carving a specific time in the day that is free from other distractions. I'll put my phone away or put on do not disturb and find a time that I know that I'm not going to have as many interruptions as I normally do. And that's when I begin my time with God. For me, preferably with a cup of coffee. I personally enjoy using a devotional guide or a reading plan. You might have heard those kind of phrases thrown out there before. To find what area of scripture that I'm going to be in for that area so that I know what my start time and when my cutoff is going to be. And then I can be intentional. I don't have to worry about just flipping to a random passage and start reading it. It's guided. There's a reason why someone is leading me there. And then I take time to pray before I even officially start, to ask God to open my eyes and my heart to his message for me and why I'm there. And in it, depending, and this is that my nerd kind of side coming out of it, whatever area that guide or that passage that devotional has me in, I'll read a little bit of the context around it just to know where I'm jumping into so I get an understanding of where I'm at. And see how that all applies. As I'm reading and I come along something that I'm unsure about, I'll write it down and take some time to look it up afterwards. I also use a study Bible that has notes at the bottom that kind of help clarify some of those questions and kind of help guide and direct on that passage. And then I'll take time just slowly reading the passage over, making sure that I fully understand what it's saying, instead of just reading something. If you're notorious like me in high school, where you have to read so many pages in whatever this book is. You just let your eyes go across the words, you close it up, and you don't remember a thing that was about it. Instead, as I'm reading God's word, I'll take time, read over it a few times if I need to, but make sure that before I close it, I understand at least one idea that's coming from it. I find that I take that time to exactly see what the text is saying to me. And for me, I try to sum it up what that idea is, what that thought might be in one sentence, in one idea, so that I can hold on to that. As I'm reading through that passage, one idea that comes to mind. And then I write that sentence down. I think I might have shared before with some of you, I like to journal. I like just to keep what is going on, like what the day is, what passage I'm in, and write down that one idea underneath that section of scripture that I'm in, just so that I can have that summed up. And then after that, I write down a prayer. Either that's something that God has revealed to me during that time in his word, or whatever's going on, see how those intersect. But here's the key to that. After I'm done, after I've read through, I have my one key idea, my one thought, and I've written down that prayer, and I close everything up, I try my best to remember that sentence, that idea that I came up with from my time in God's word that he helped me to develop, and try to remember that sentence as I go throughout my day. And as I go through that day, I then will have opportunities to see God's word transform my heart and how I respond to what he's taught me. You know, sometimes it's not always immediate, but having his truth in my mind and my heart to be there when it's needed really helps to stick. It really helps to stick putting that one idea in. It helps to then to transform me when I need it. And that's it. That's how I spend that time in there. Be able to break down one area, one idea, and sit on it and allow God to work and do the work in through me. If you have any questions about how to get more into God's word, please come and talk to me. That's why I'm here. Or if you find another way that works great for you, that might be a little different than how I just shared a little bit of how that works for me. And if it works for you, by all means, keep at it. And praise God that he's able to connect with, that you're able to connect with him and his word in such a powerful way. And what's important here is that we're spending time in God's word and allowing his wisdom to work in our lives each and every day. And I want to put the right tools in your hands so that all of us can be more in tune with God and have a deep desire for him and his word. So if there's anything, any clarity, anything that I need to help address or to walk you through, please know that I'm here. I'm not going to look down on you. If you're like, I have no idea where to start, I have no idea what to do, I want to walk you through and make sure that you can understand the true treasure that we have in this book. And so I mentioned the first gift the wisdom that God has given us through his word. And the second goes hand in hand with that. In the last verses of the passage, we're told that we are given the Spirit of God to understand his wisdom. Because if you were a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we understand what is shared with us in this book. It is him working inside of us, revealing the wisdom of God to us. Because we have learned that apart from God, our wisdom is useless. It's fleeting, ever-changing. It's humbling, but it's important to say that this book, this Bible, this God's word, can't be precious to you because you're smart. It's not precious to you because you come to church and you hear it read each and every week, or that you yourself have read it cover to cover. It is only precious. It is only precious to you because the Spirit of God Himself has revealed the Word to you and have given you the opportunity and opened your heart to it. It's not about us. It's about Him. Now, there's something key that we need to remember in thinking about this. Is that we actively participate in what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us from God's Word. It's the application of God's revealed wisdom that really makes the difference. Because when you open God's Word, the question you should always ask yourself is this: what does this mean for me today? What does this mean for me today? That's why I take that sentence that the Holy Spirit helps me to come up with and focus on it throughout my day. So that I am partnering with Him in what He has shown me through that time together. Because God has given us His Word, so not so that our heads would just be filled with all this knowledge, but that our hearts and our lives would be transformed because of it. So what does that mean for us today? It means when we spend time in God's Word, that we allow the Spirit of God to work and hold on to what God has revealed to us. That we take the message of James 1 and be both hearers and doers of the Word of God. And as we focus on His wisdom, we rely on His truth to face what the world brings our way. That when the storms of life come, our foundation is the Word of God. And we can place our trust and our hope in Him because we believe in His truth. And that everything that we say and we do aligns with Scripture and what it truly says. That we ourselves spend time soaking in its truth and not relying on or making it through our week by our personal thoughts, but what come through from God Himself. Because as a church, if we want to build everything we do, both corporately and personally, on the Word of God, we have to know what it says for ourselves and be actively applying it each and every day. And this time together each week can't be the only time that you're getting into it. Because in verse 13, we see that this wisdom is not taught by man, but by the Spirit. So I alone cannot impart this wisdom to you. Coming to church alone can't give you this wisdom either. Every church program, every Bible study, every vacation Bible school, every sermon you've ever heard alone won't cut it either. All of these things are great and are amazing tools to add to your arsenal. But you have to get this true wisdom from its only source, God Himself. God Himself. So as we close and begin to close in this time of prayer, would you pray over these things with me? That we would be a people, that we as Grace Brethren Church would be a people on fire for the Word of God. So maybe you're here this morning and you have to confess that you don't spend time as much as often as you should in this book. Maybe it's collecting dust on your nightstand. That this isn't the place that you look to find wisdom and how to live your life. Or maybe you're just confused and of how to break it down and where to start. I pray that you would seek after either myself or someone that you trust that you know has a steady relationship with God and ask and break down and say, let me pick your brain. Let me see why this is important, how you go about doing this. There's a little bit of pride that needs to, we have to bump down a little pride on that one and say, I don't know everything. Please show me. Believe me, I'm not going to belittle you. I'm going to say, let's go. Let me show you. Let me show you how it works. Here's some tools and different areas I can help you walk you through that. Or if there's another way that works better for you, let me try to help you see how your learning and how your application kind of works for you, how you pick up on things. Maybe you come here. Maybe you come here and you don't allow these words to penetrate your heart. And you don't live by God's wisdom. You haven't made that decision to say, this, I believe what is in this book to be true. And so true that I'm going to build my life upon. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be working and speaking to you. And you'd respond to his message. And as a church, I pray that this book and its message of Christ's victory would be at the center of everything that we do. That as we enter and we're in this time of in the season of transition, that we would ask ourselves, does our wisdom of why we do what we do align with the wisdom from God himself given to us through his word, through himself? Let's pray over these things together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, thankful that you are not a silent God. That you don't abandon us. That you don't forget about us. But you want to be in constant communication with us. And one of the ways you do that, Lord, is by giving us your word. And Lord, I pray that this would be something that we would treasure. Not just as a church, but as individuals. Would see the truth, the life-giving truth that comes from these words. That we would be able to lean on them. Would be able to build our life upon them. And we would look ourselves in the eye and say, Lord, there's areas that we're falling short. There's areas where the world's wisdom and the latest fad is what motivates us. Lord, I pray that we would be able to say our firm foundation is Jesus Christ himself, the word of God in flesh. Lord, I pray for those who might be here this morning who don't understand this wisdom. We say it's confusing, it's hard to wrap my brain around. Lord, I understand. Lord, I sympathize. There are passages through this word that you have given to us that confuse me completely. I have no idea sometimes what you're saying and how you're coming across. But Lord, the joy in that, the relief in that is that you give us the gift of your Spirit to help us. So Lord, we don't need to be ashamed if we're not in this book. We don't need to belittle one another who may not be at those different levels. But Lord, that we would be people who could come along one another and say, let me show you how the Spirit's been working in my life. Let me see, let me show you how we can break this down together. Let me give you some tools out of my tool belt so we can look and understand how you can carry this message for yourself. Where you yourself can hold on to this wisdom and believe it to be the true word of God. I pray as a church that would be the heartbeat of how we can care for one another, of why we can love one another. It's because we love you. We love your word. It'd be something we want to follow and we want to share with everyone we come in contact with. That has to start with us. And I pray you would open our eyes and our hearts to the areas that we are lacking. We love you, we thank you, we praise you for all of these things. Amen.